I would like to address recent news reports regarding meetings during the campaign attended by George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. Frankly, I had no recollection of this meeting until I saw these news reports. I do now recall that the March 2016 meeting at the Trump Hotel that Mr. Papadopoulos attended, but I have no clear recollection of the details of what he said at that meeting.
That's Attorney General Jeff Sessions there testifying before the House Judiciary Committee earlier this week, telling lawmakers why he was telling the truth when he said he knew nothing about campaign contacts with Russians. But George Papadopoulos and Carter Page now are among the dozen or so names that have been thrown into the escalating investigations by Congress and by Robert Mueller's special counsel looking into Russian influence in the 2016 presidential election. Contact after contact with Russians, new reporting showing Russia may have cultivated a relationship with Donald Trump for years before he ran for president. It all makes it seem like former KGB man Vladimir Putin must have some highly orchestrated plan to disrupt American politics. Well, according to Russian journalist Mikhail Ziegler, more than a decade of reporting on the Kremlin shows that's not what's really going on in Moscow.
This wave of conspiracy theories that Putin is the man who's got the strategic vision and who has initiated such a huge plot against American democracy seems to me a bit of exaggeration. I have no doubts that there was Russian interference and President Putin doesn't like Hillary Clinton and wanted to create a mess during American electoral campaign. He wanted it to be much more chaotic. But I'm not really sure that there was that genuine strategy that is usually described in American media. It seems to me that he's not that James Bond-style villain, you know. It seems to me a huge conspiracy theory that is not accurate in each and every moment.
Still, the aspects of what might comprise a grand theory, if the grand theory is inaccurate, they are real, right? Intentional fake news is real, and trying to recruit people, that's real, and bots
are
real.
That's what we were watching inside Russia for many years. Those troll factories and a lot of companies which are creating fake news websites. That's the reality we've been living in for many years, like more than a decade. So probably they decided that they can use it not only for domestic consumption, not only for Russian audience, but for American audience as well.
But looking into Vladimir Putin's history, you say that he's a man of opportunity, that he often behaves as a guy without a grand strategy, but as somebody who knows how to spot a chance and take it. What does that mean?
That's right. He's much more a tactical player than strategic one. He doesn't have a master plan what he's going to achieve and what is his final objective, but he can react rather quickly. He always changes his plans according to the circumstances, and that's his habit. And provided he's got that prejudice against American establishment, provided that he's got a lot of suspicion, he's absolutely sure that, for example, in 2014, America attacked Russia when Ukrainian Revolution happened. So that's why anything that could disrupt American institutions in a way could look justified for him.
So that's to say the overarching motivation for Vladimir Putin, in your view, is disruption, yes, slowing down or undermining of the United States. But how he achieves that is not very important.
Russian economy is not that strong, so he could undermine the United States. That's not the question. Frankly speaking, at the same time, he wants to be respected. He wants to be treated as an equal partner. He wants to be engaged, but he feels that only if he's attacking, only if he's assertive, if not aggressive, he can get that respect. He's got kind of ideology he wants to adopt, and he wants Russian people to adopt. The only concept of this ideology is that Russia is an empire, Russians should be proud of the fact that he has made Russia great again. He has made Russia an empire again.
Wait a second. That sounds familiar.
Really?
That sounds familiar.
Really? Are you sure? I'm totally sure that Vladimir Putin was the first man to adopt that rhetoric.
So does that mean then that he feels like he has a kindred spirit in Donald Trump? Look, not just the person who was running against the woman he hated, Hillary Clinton, but somebody who views the world in the same way that he does, somebody who's an opportunist like him,
Probably, and definitely. And he prefers the politicians with much more cynicism than idealism. Businessmen type politicians like Silvio Berlusconi or Gerhard Schroeder were, if not close friends, but real partners for him. So from the beginning, Donald Trump, even before he was elected an American president, looked like the next Silvio Berlusconi, the man Putin could deal with.
So where we started, Mikhail, this idea that there really isn't this vertically integrated Russian intelligence program from the top of the Kremlin down through FSB that's putting out fake news and interfering in American elections. You say that's not really the reality. So what does this effort, if you conceptualize it, look like? Because the efforts that we've seen, the fake news and the bots and the interference, those are real. If they're not coming from an order from the top or they're not Russian state policy, what are they?
I do not believe in pre-orchestrated campaign. It should be a bit more complicated because what we know about FSB, that it's not so effective organization. Usually it is described that the people with KGB background are called the man who send faxes. They are not using even emails. They prefer to keep their secrets off internet because they're afraid of being spied on. They are not that technologically sophisticated. So that operation could not be initiated by FSB. Probably that was some private company closely affiliated with Russian government that could turn up with the initiative, and probably those IT businessmen were willing to appeal to President Putin. They knew that he would love that idea. They thought that was going to be like a gift for him. Probably he could be that adventurous to say, okay, let's try it.
You're a journalist in Russia, Mikhail. You've never felt unsafe in the work that you do.
It's not easy to be a journalist, and I had to quit my work as editor-in-chief of my TV channel after we were really attacked. That was much more an economic attack and psychological attack. Our TV channel was blamed for being fascist and anti-state and blamed for disrespect of the memory of those Russians who died during the Second World War. And after that campaign, led by most of Russian mainstream media, all the advertisers were gone. Most of our cable and satellite providers decided to switch us off. And the owner of our studio announced that he's not going to renew our contract. So we were left without studio. That was a series of real blows towards our TV channel. But in any way, we changed the scheme. The business model of our TV channel, it used to be a huge TV channel with like 20 million people watching us daily. Now it's only a website, a fee-paid website. We switched to a subscription model, and there are like 70,000 people watching it. That's not that influential media as it used to be, but that website still exists.
Which is to say there's plenty of intimidation in your view, and it happened.
That's correct.
But you're still alive and well.
That's correct. We're alive and trying hard to struggle.
So look, Mikhail Zeger, I've asked you a lot of questions through the eyes of Vladimir Putin and how he sees the world. But before we let you go, I'm interested in your view of Donald Trump. When you see somebody in his position with everything that we know or think we know now about Russian interference or possible cooperation, and you see a candidate Trump and a President Trump who for so long was very unwilling to criticize Vladimir Putin in public, who at other times was full of praise for Vladimir Putin, something that shocked a lot of Americans because we're not used to that from presidents. When you see Donald Trump's behavior, knowing what you know about Vladimir Putin in Russia, what do you see?
You know, it seems to me that Trump administration is very chaotic, much more chaotic than Putin's. It seems to me that he's not that experienced politician, that if he was an experienced politician, if he was, not to say an agent, but if he were affiliated with some Russian business or some Russian company, he would definitely hide that fact, to conceal it. So they did nothing to hide, like when Michael Flynn went to Moscow and participated in RT event, that was obvious. Everyone saw that was on TV. They never tried to conceal anything, because probably they were not that experienced and they sincerely not aware of the possible consequences. All the businessmen who are supposed to be like negotiating with him are very minor, and that's not true that they are closely related to Vladimir Putin. All his Russian ties are not that impressive.
So then why do you think, and maybe you're speculating, that candidate Trump and to an extent President Trump never wanted to criticize Vladimir Putin and sometimes praised him in a way that to many Americans was shocking because it's Vladimir Putin?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, actually. I can't speculate about Putin's way of thinking,
you know,
because
Russian
I was
journalist,
interviewing
author of All the Kremlin's Men Inside the Court of Vladimir Putin, his most recent book, The Empire Must Die. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Know as much as I could about his way of thinking, about the facts from the past, about what he was trying to do and what he was doing. I unfortunately have no information about Trump's way of thinking.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.